It is a joy to see each and every one, and we do pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you are found in his house this morning. Let me just remind you, as we have been doing at the beginning of our services, that if you or any member of your family are showing any symptoms in relation to COVID-19, then we just ask that you would refrain from coming from that for that time until it is safe for your return. Do remember, as you have been doing, the social distancing as you come in and out of the building. And do also remember the hand sanitizer as you are coming in to the church hall. Here, they're both sides of the door, and we encourage you, each one, to use it as you make your way in. Just to go through the announcements then for the incoming week, do remember firstly that today is our Building Fund Sunday, being the second Sunday of the month, and the basket is in the hall as you leave the service after this morning. The evening service will continue online at 7 p.m. and do tune into that both on Facebook and on YouTube as we continue to broadcast the evening service. I mentioned on Wednesday night that with it being the 12th of July, we would be endeavouring to bring a message in relation to it. And what was on my mind earlier in the week, well, the Lord changed that. And I was thinking something in relation to marching and to marching to Zion. But then, whenever I was in the study, the Lord gave me another portion and another passage. And so tonight we're dealing with the subject, the year the 12th was cancelled. The year the 12th was cancelled. But I'll let you into a little secret. I'm not talking about 2020. I'm talking about another year when the 12th of July was cancelled. So do tune in and even invite and encourage others to watch in as well. Wednesday night, the prayer meeting and Bible study will be here in the church hall at 8 p.m. and we'll be returning to finish off that message in Jeremiah, and the title of which was Encouragement for the Downhearted. And so do make that effort Wednesday by Wednesday, come and study God's Word and also to pray for the work here in the church. Can we say that we need just a brief meeting of committee on Wednesday evening after the service just to finalise that issue that was brought to your attention last Wednesday. So committee, just for a couple of moments on a Wednesday night, please. This Friday night there is a presbytery meeting in Martyrs at 8 p.m. so do pray for the session and for the members of presbytery as they'll be going to that meeting. Service is next Sunday, 11:30. In the morning, and it will be our last message in the book of Jonah. As I said, when we first started, I said 6 weeks, and it'll end up being 13 altogether, so my counting must be still off, or else the Lord certainly has been blessing, and it's been encouragement in my own heart and challenge to us, and I pray that the Lord will bless in that last service. Can we just say that the services as a whole will be remaining as they are into the month of August? And so we'll be having our Sunday morning service in the church here. We'll be having a prayer meeting in the church here. But the Sunday evening service will be continuing online until at least the middle of August. And then as a session, we've been reviewing it constantly, keeping it under review. And we feel it is best just to continue as it is for now. Can we also say on behalf of FPC Kids and the Children Evangelists of our Mission Board, there is an online Bible club happening from the 20th to the 24th of July, each morning on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Robert McConnell, Christina Logan and Joyce Walsh will be involved in that ministry each morning. And we do encourage you to share those links to let other children in the area know, and also to pray much for it, that the Lord will richly bless that venture as it takes place. Certainly over the months, as those broadcasts have been taking place, both on the Friday and the Sunday, there have been many that have been tuning in, both from our own denomination and even further afield. And we thank God for souls being saved, and we do pray that the Lord will continue to bless it and to use it. Can we also say that in relation to our own Children's Bible Club, as we mentioned earlier on in the season, that it was cancelled. It won't be happening in the usual format over in Clockfin, but from the 17th to the 21st of August, we will be having an online Bible club each night at 7 p.m. And we're getting some advertisements drawn up that we can post on the Facebook page. And when you see them appear on our church page, then we do encourage you to share them in the area. Let other children know about those meetings as they will be taking place. Now, that's all the announcements for this morning. And we're going to start our service with our brother Stephen coming to sing to us now. We want to thank him for ministering in song. Thanks, Stephen, for commencing our service for us this morning and for drawing us already to the King of Kings and to the great majesty that the Lord Jesus Christ has. Let's stand for prayer. We're going to, as you're aware, our format of worship is slightly different in these days, and we're just going to stand for prayer and then we're going to read the Psalms together. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we bow before Thee, the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy goodness and Thy mercy, and ever revealing Thyself even to us. We thank Thee, O God, for who Thou art. We do rejoice that Thou art the great God of heaven and of earth. We do acknowledge that Thou art a holy and a righteous God. We do acknowledge that there's not one spot or one stain against Thee or against Thy holy name. We thank Thee for Thy goodness, O God. We thank Thee for Thy justice. We thank Thee for Thy grace. Oh, we rejoice in the grace of God. We rejoice that it's by the grace of God that we are saved through faith. Not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Lord, we do acknowledge that this is Thy day. We do acknowledge, O God, that this is a holy day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice. We will be glad in it. We will worship our God in heaven and in earth. We will worship, O God, Thee in the public and in the private setting. And Lord, we do ask Thee this day, we do pray that every single part of this service will resound to the honour and to the glory of God alone. That Thou wilt empty each and every heart of self and of sin. That Thou wilt fill us with Thy Spirit. And O God, as we have gathered today to this house, that we will know that the Lord is here. That we will feel His presence as a real a sense of it even amongst us. That we will know that God is in the midst. And we think of the blessing, the joy of knowing that the Lord is visiting His people. No, may that be the reality today, that the glory of God will descend upon this gathering. And that the Lord will visit us. And that we will know the blessing of Almighty God upon us. Lord, remember each and every one that is before us and before Thee this day. Lord, we pray for Thy blessing to be upon each one. We pray in the individual circumstances of life that Thou wilt meet each and every need. That Thou wilt meet each and every one at the very point of it, spiritually, physically, mentally, whatever the need is, O God, and Thou knowest it all. Lord, we commit everyone into Thy hands. Remember those that are mourning across our land. Be near to them, we pray. Bless them, and comfort them, and strengthen them these days. May they know the comfort even of Almighty God, even with them there in their homes. Remember the sick. Lord, we commit them into Thy hands again. We pray that Thou wilt meet them at the very point. We think of the elderly of our congregation, unable to join with us anymore. Draw near to them. For those that are shielding, bless them. For those, O God, that need that encouragement in their own hearts in these days. Lord, Thou art a great God, greatly to be praised. Oh, may that be the reality in each and every one this day. May we leave here rejoicing in the goodness of Almighty God even towards us. Bless in the reading of Thy word. Bless in the singing of the hymn together. Bless, O God, in the preaching part of the service. Lord, come, touch our hearts, touch our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's open our Bibles in the Psalm section. Or our psalm for the week. We're coming today to Psalm number 70. Psalm number 70. It is entitled To the Chief Musician, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. Psalm number 70, verse 1. The word of God says, Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, Let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Amen. What a wonderful end even to that psalm as brings us to remember what we are. Even before the Lord Jesus Christ, we are nothing more than poor and needy. And how much we need the Lord in each and every aspect and each and every part of our life. We're going to turn to our hymn. This is a hymn 411. I want to sing together this morning. We'll stand as we sing. 411. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean. A sunlit heart with naught a cloud between. We'll stand as we sing, and you join in as quickly as you can as we commence our singing together. Let's stand, please.
I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow.
Singing. Let's open our Bibles now, please, in the book of Jonah. And we're commencing to look at the final chapter in the book today, in the book of Jonah, in the chapter number 4. Admitted to send announcements, but there is copies of the accounts for 2019 in the front porch. If you didn't get a copy on Wednesday night, then we encourage you to take a copy as you leave this morning. As we mentioned as well, for those that are shielding, there is copies available. If you would like a copy to be sent to you, then either get in touch with myself or the treasurer of the congregation. So Jonah chapter 4, we're going to take the time to read the 11 verses together. Jonah chapter 4, the verse and number 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. He prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. The Lord God prepared a gird and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gird. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gird that it withered. It came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind. The sun beat upon the head of Jonah,
that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gird?" And he said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gird, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Amen. And we know that God will write his own blessing upon the reading of his precious and his infallible word. I've entitled the message this morning, "Jonah, the Resentful Prophet." Jonah, the Resentful Prophet. Let's pray once again as we look to the Lord even for his help and for his blessing even now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to thee with thy word open before us. Lord, we simply say, speak. Speak, O God, to each and to every heart. Lord, work in my heart, work in me, work through me for the honor and the glory of King Jesus. Touch my lips. O God, I pray that each and every word that comes forth will be from thee and from only thee. Lord, apply thy word to each and to every one. And may all of the honor and glory be given to thee, in whose name we pray. Amen. What a chapter we looked at last week. The greatest revival that there has ever been. No revival has ever had the success that the Nineveh revival had. From the king down to the pauper in the street, every single man, woman, child who knew their right hand from their left hand repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in Christ. What a turnaround for Jonah. The man who had ran from God, been swallowed by a fish. The man who had been given a second opportunity to serve the Lord took it and faithfully preached the Lord's message and saw a glorious revival. And they lived happily ever after. Except that's not how it ends. You know, if someone was just writing this as a story, they would finish the book at Jonah 3 and verse 10. Because Nineveh has been dealt with, Nineveh has been changed, and God has comforted the people. We looked at that word, repented. When it says God repented of the evil, we saw that it also can be translated as being comforted. That God comforted the people. And here was a nation, here was a city now at right with God and now worshipping God. And we could have ended it there. Except that's not what the Holy Spirit did. He gave chapter 4. And just like we noted at the end of John's Gospel, that John's Gospel doesn't end with the summation that is given in John 20 and verse 31, but rather John 21 was given because you need chapter 21 of John and I need chapter 21 of John. So too it is with Jonah chapter 4. It's given by inspiration of God for our benefit, for our reproof, for our rebuke. To read chapter 3 and to leave it there would give us the opinion that Jonah was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament Scripture, who finished well for the Lord. But the reading of chapter 4 changes the ending in a dramatic way. For one thing, it certainly highlights and teaches us that revival is not because of man. That whenever a revival breaks out and whenever souls are saved, it's not because of what a man or a woman does. Revival is of the Lord. Revival blessing is when the Spirit of God comes down. Yes, we are to be in the right place. We are to be in the right frame of heart. We are to be ready for that revival. Our hearts are to be in tune with the Lord. But that we are not the ones who cause revival. That is the Lord's work. Revival comes because of the will of the Father, because of the sacrifice of the Son, because of the energy of the Holy Spirit. And yes, Jonah was the right man to go to Nineveh. He was the right man. He was in the right place. He was there at the right time. He brought the right message. But he had the wrong heart. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 6 and verse 6, he says, "The servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart." Jonah was not serving the Lord with all of his heart. As we enter the final chapter, you know there are a number of contradictions which support that statement. We read at the end of chapter number 3 in verse 10 that God saw their works, that they turned from their evil. God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them. God is pleased. God is satisfied with Nineveh. But yet Jonah is displeased. And he's very angry. And what that leads to is Jonah praying for the second time in this book. And there's a great contradiction even between the two prayers of Jonah. The first prayer of Jonah is one of anguish. Whenever he's in the belly of the fish, he is there in anguish and he cries unto the Lord in anguish. His second prayer is a prayer of anger. His first prayer is a prayer, "Lord, save my life." The second prayer is, "Lord, take my life." The first prayer is a prayer of repentance. The second prayer is a prayer of resentment. He is a resentful prophet. There are three things I want to leave with you in relation to his resentment this morning. I'm going to cover the first a few verses of the chapter. I want you to see, firstly, his resentment of the people. His resentment of the people. The verse number 1, it tells us, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. You know, there have been many over the years that have compared Jonah to both the prodigal and to the elder brother in Luke 15. He was the prodigal son in his running and his returning. He was the elder brother in Luke 15 in his resisting and his resenting. Just like the elder brother refused to go into the celebration and he remained outside, well, so too did Jonah. Because we read in the verse 5 of how he went out and sat on the east side of the city. You know, I try to picture the scene of Nineveh in my mind. After the word of God has been preached and after the Spirit of God has applied the word, try to picture in my mind as men and women, young and old alike, repenting of their sins, putting away all false idols, putting away all of those things of the world, covering themselves in sackcloth and in ashes, broken for their sin. I see brokenness. I see sin, brokenness for sin, brokenness for repentance. And then over time, I see joy in those people. I see rejoicing that God has forgiven them of their sins. That assurance of salvation enters in. And from the Cain right down, the laws are changed, as we looked at last week, and men and women are rejoicing in the goodness and the mercy of God. And I see one face of anger, one face of misery, one who turns his back and he walks out of the city. Everyone is fellowshipping together. Everyone is rejoicing in the goodness of God. Everyone is full of the joy of the Lord. And yet there's one, he just turns his back and he walks. He says, I don't want to be here. He was a prophet of the Lord, and these people were spiritual babes. They needed the milk of the word. They needed an under shepherd to lead them, to guide them, to bring God's word to them, to show them what was right and what was wrong, to bring the Old Testament, to bring the law to them, that they would understand what God expects of his people. They needed one to help them put the roots downward, that the fruit would go upward, and yet he left. He says, you're on your own. You see, whilst he obeyed the Lord and he brought the message of the Lord in the first place to the people, even though he could speak of the experience of God's grace in his own life, yet he had a problem with the people. It was a problem he couldn't get over. You see, he hated the Assyrians. He hated the Ninevites. He was a loyal citizen of Israel. He describes it in verse 2 of chapter 4. He speaks of his own country. He says, when I was yet in my country. He has such an allegiance to his own people. His loyalty is so great that he cannot accept the change that has happened in the lives of his enemies. He cannot accept those that were once at war with him, those that were once at war with his people, those nations, those people that sought to do harm to the Israelites. He cannot accept now they've been changed by God. He cannot bring himself to accept that those that were once enemies are now part of his family. See, remember, to the Jew, the Gentile people were dogs. Vile, disgusting dogs. And for those dogs now to have experienced the same mercy, same pardon, same grace from God, for Jonah was a step too far. You know, sectarianism and prejudice can be an awful scourge on a church or on a believer. To see another community, to see a people as being inferior and undeserving of our efforts and undeserving of our love in the gospel, because of cultural religious differences that would rather they go to hell without even hearing the gospel message. You see, for Jonah, because of the hurt that the Assyrians had caused the Israelites in the past, Jonah's heart is set against them. He even explains to us, we find a bit of an insight in these verses in chapter 2 as to why he ran in the first place. Because it tells us there in verse 2, he prayed unto the Lord. He said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? When God's word came to Jonah in the first place and God said, go to Nineveh because their sins come up before me. Jonah knew, if I go there to that country, and I go to that city, God is going to save those people. And I don't want them saved. That's why he ran to Tarshish. That's why he had that desire to get away, to go in the complete opposite direction, so that those men and women would be judged and come under the judgment of the Lord. You know what a contrast there is between Jonah and the Apostle Paul. Both were exemplary Jews. Both were patriots. They loved Israel. Both were skilled in the laws of Moses, the customs, the traditions of Israel. And yet Paul would give his all. His all. To reach the Gentile nations throughout the Roman Empire. Paul's love for the Gentile people, remember his enemies. Remember, I'm talking about the ones that he was instructed and he was skilled to refer to as dogs. Paul's love for those people went so far that he was willing to be beaten with rods. He was willing to be whipped. He was willing to be imprisoned. To be shipwrecked. He was willing to float in the sea for a day and for a night. He was willing to be beaten to an inch, within an inch of his life. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and following. Speaking, he says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. Labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen. Pearls by the heathen, and pearls in the city, and pearls in the wilderness, and pearls in the sea, and pearls amongst false prophets. Weariness, painfulness, watchings often, hunger, thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness." He was willing to suffer it all to reach his enemies. And yet his love for his own people, you could never describe Paul as being a traitor. He loved the enemy, he loved the Gentile, the enemy of the Jews, he loved the Gentile people, but you could never ever describe Paul as being a traitor to his own people. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, it tells us. Even there in 2 Corinthians 11:22, he says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I." And his loyalty to his own people, remember, he's been beaten. We read it there. He's been beaten by his own people, his own countrymen. But yet his loyalty, his patriotism, his love for his own community, his own people, went so far he was willing to be anathema for them. He was willing to be cursed himself to save his own people. See the difference? Paul's heart's desire was what? Israel would be saved. But he also went so far, his heart was for the Gentile people. He gave himself for each and for every one. Jonah said, "No, I actually only want to save my own." Paul loved his people, he loved his history, he loved his country. But the love of Christ within him compelled him to love his enemies. To reach out to them with the gospel. But not Jonah. Yes, Jonah was obedient, but not from the heart. No, I wonder today, who are we more like? Be more like Jonah. Be more like Paul. You know, when we consider everything that's happened in our own little country, many years of hardship and suffering, are we willing to be Paul's? Are we willing to go that extra mile to reach those who historically, culturally, we've had little to do with? Or like Jonah, is the resentment in our hearts towards them? I believe in the past, before I was ordained to this church, I did preach about being the elder brother. I highlighted the story of what one man in the church said to me when Martin McGuinness was on his deathbed. And he couldn't wait for Martin to be sent to hell. As I highlighted then, I highlighted again. Brothers and sisters, if we have even an ounce of what hell is truly like, we won't want anyone to go there. Regardless of what they've done, our heart's desire should still be to reach them for Christ. And to do all that we can to see them saved. His resentment of the people. Then secondly, I want you to see as well his resentment because of pride. Verse number 2. Jonah prayed unto the Lord. He said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, repentest thee of the evil. You know, when revival takes place, we expect the devil to be angry. We expect the world to be angry. You know, the devil's losing souls. Men and women are saved, plucked as brands from the burning. Guarantee the devil's hopping mad. Guarantee an angry response from him. We can see it in the book of Acts. Even the chapters that we've studied already, whenever the revival came, whenever those days of blessing were there, the devil was busy. Apostles were rounded up. They were put in prison. There was strife. Even came through Ananias, the fire in the church. The devil was busy. He wanted to attack. He wanted to disrupt. He wanted to harm the work of God. But when revival comes, what we don't expect is for a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching minister or a church member or even a Christian, we don't expect them to be upset at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival. It's unthinkable, really. All of Six Mile Cross and this surrounding area, if God came in such a way that every single house was touched and every single house had a soul that was saved within it, we wouldn't expect anyone here in the church to be upset and to be saddened, to be angry because souls are being saved. The prayer meetings would be praise meetings. We'd be gathering every week, just simply lifting our hearts and saying, thank you, Lord, but yet here's Jonah. He's angry. May I put it to you that his thoughts, his feelings at that time, his resentment was as a result of pride. Verses 2 and 3 in his prayer to the Lord, 10 times he will use a personal pronoun. Read through them for yourself. Constantly, I and my. It's all about self. Become the case that it's all about how he looks. What people will say about him. How would he look to the Israelites? How could he ever go back to his own nation? Remember, he was popular with them. He was a respected prophet. He was one whom had prophesied in the past. And that prophecy had come to fruition. He was one that the people looked to. How would it go down in Israel that their enemy, the Assyrians, were spared from God's judgment? And Jonah was the one who was used of the Lord to reach them. In Jonah's mind, because of that pride. There's more worry in him about being viewed as a traitor. And what about in Nineveh as well, when 40 days had passed? God's judgment didn't come down as Jonah had predicted. Jonah had went through the streets preaching, saying, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. How would Jonah look? This is what's going through Jonah's mind. Reputation, you see, was more important. More important than character. You know, when reputation is more important, and pleasing ourselves is more important than pleasing God, then we become like Jonah. How important is your reputation? You know, it tells us in Philippians 2 and verse 7 that the Lord Jesus, he made himself of no reputation. He was humiliated. Our brother sang this morning of the King of Kings, majesty. And yet the King of Kings was numbered with transgressors. He was condemned, even though he was innocent. He endured the scorn and the ridicule of the leaders and the people. He was nailed to a cross like a criminal. He was left to hang in view of all of the people. Christ made himself of no reputation. And Paul encourages us in Philippians 2 and 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For John the Baptist, it was the case that he had to decrease, Christ had to increase. In other words, John says, it's not about my name, it's not about my person. I don't want my fame to be spread. I want the fame of Christ. I don't want people to know the name of John the Baptist. I want people to know the name of Jesus Christ. You see, the work of God is not about the personality. About the person. It's to be all about Jesus. It's not about you and me. It's not about what people think of us. It's rather what people think of Christ. See, isn't that one of the important questions that the Lord Jesus Christ asked? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Not what think ye of my preachers. What think ye of my disciples, these 12 that I have chosen out. No, the question was asked, what think ye of Christ? Brothers and sisters, never let self get in the way of service. Learn from Jonah. We have it within our hearts and our minds that we're always concerned about what people in the community will say about us. What our family will say about us. Surely, it ought to be the case, what does Christ say about us? You know, Job given that glowing recommendation of Christ. He was described as a servant, described as one that escheweth evil, doeth good. Job got up in the mornings, he would have gone out and spent time in the fields praying to the Lord. Tells us that in Job 1. He went out and offered sacrifices on behalf of his children. It's all about what does God think, not what does man think. Oh, Jonah had resentment of the people. He had resentment because of his pride. Then thirdly and finally, what you see is resentment of the person of Christ. His resentment of the person of Christ. Halfway through verse number 2, he says, I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, repentest thee of the evil. You know, Jonah's pride led to him resenting and in reality attacking Christ for who he was. He uses his prayer to preach, which is always wrong to do. And as you look at his prayer, it's doctrinally, theologically, he's right. He presents the attributes of God. He's been well trained, he's been well schooled in who God is. He knows the attributes, he lays them out. God is gracious, God is merciful, God is long-suffering, he's kind, he's compassionate. And yet Jonah in this prayer, he attacks God for being this way. As if somehow it's a negative aspect of Christ. Even though Jonah had experienced these attributes for himself, God had been merciful to Jonah. God had been gracious to him. He had given him that second opportunity. Didn't just cast him off. Didn't just leave him in the belly of the fish forever, never to be seen or heard of again. God was gracious. He gave him that second opportunity to serve. And yet when God was merciful to others, suddenly that made God wrong. For now he's being too gracious. Too merciful. You see, Jonah wanted the gospel to be exclusive, not inclusive. If Jonah had his way, verses like whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord would be changed to if Israel calls upon the name of the Lord. That's how tight he wanted it. He wanted the gospel, he wanted the grace, he wanted the mercy of God just for Israel. No further. Jonah, in the prayer, he actually makes that claim. The grace of God's the reason why he ran in the first place. In other words, what he's saying is, God, your grace actually made me to sin. He's saying God made him to sin. God's never made anyone to sin. God is a God who hates sin. God would never, never make anyone to sin. He slanders God's character. My friend, the slander of God's character is perverted thinking at its very worst. God's a holy God. Hates all appearance even of evil. What a state Jonah's in. What bitterness has filled his heart and his mind. No bitterness, resentment. It's an awful dangerous seed to have within you. The child of God, never let bitterness or resentment fester and grow. Whether it be towards man or towards God. Hebrews 12, the verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Here is Jonah, blessed prophet of the Lord. man greatly used. And yet the heart was rotten with bitterness. To the point he hated the people. And he's now attacking God. What child of God, what a state to be in. And yet, as we see with Jonah, it is possible. It's possible to get so angry that we attack God. That we blame God. Learn from Jonah. Look at the dangers. Learn from him. If there's any bitterness ever comes into any of us, well, may it be rooted out. We sang the hymn, "I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean. A heart like thine. A heart divine." You see, within the Lord, there's not one ounce of bitterness. We saw it in the cross, didn't we? And they nailed him to the tree. Pierced his brow with thorns. He opened his back. And yet Christ prayed, "Father, forgive them." We saw it in Stephen, didn't we? As they hurled the stones at Stephen, he cried the same prayer. Lay not to their charge. Child of God, rid us. May the Lord rid us of ever having bitterness towards any, or even towards himself. We will have hearts that are true and clean. Hearts like Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. O God, we thank Thee for this fourth chapter in Jonah. Thank Thee, O God, for the lessons that we can learn from it, and we can apply, O God, by Thy Spirit, even to our own lives. Give us hearts like Thine. Give us, O God, hearts divine. Lord, may we have a love, not just for the Lord Jesus Christ, but a love for people. A love for souls. Lord, I pray that each and every one, that I will empty us of all self, all sin, take away all roots of pride, reputation. Lord, that Thou wilt enable us to grow and to be like Thee. Lord, bless our community in these days. Bless our congregation. Bless our nation as a whole. Oh, that we will see the outpouring of the God, the Holy Spirit. Be with each one now as we separate one from the other. Bless again in the evening time and the online message and service. We pray for Thy blessing to be upon it. Pray that Thou wilt speak to each and to every heart. Lord, undertake in these days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you once again for coming. And we'll just dismiss in the way we have been doing.